is wrong with me? All of a sudden, I'm enjoying Halloween this year.
Who are you? I don't know what happened to you. Good. It's supposed to be that way.
But I hated it yesterday.
But now you love it because you're dressed for...
I think it's
because
I dressed up.
That made all the difference.
Did you open your closet door and were hit by a pumpkin or something?
No, I don't. I just think it's because now I'm into the spirit of it because
sure.
I dressed up.
Sure.
Maybe I'm going to dress up every year. I know what I'm going to be next year.
What?
Can I don't know if I should tell you, but I swear to God, I'm going to do my best job.
There's no way I can wait a whole year.
Phyllis Diller.
That'll be great. I wish it were next year, Wendy.
Do you have all that stuff at home, too?
No, that I'm going to have to go buy.
You have to rent some of that.
You have a moo-moo at home?
I need a psychedelic moo-moo. That's a great band name if no one's using it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the psychedelic moo-moos. Wendy, look who's on the phone line. It's Ursula Bielski, paranormal researcher and founder of Chicago Hauntings, here to tell you about some very scary things for Halloween. Ursula, my belief is that you and Wendy are not meant to meet in person.
I know.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
It is so weird.
Every year you come in around Halloween, and it's
so
always
weird.
On a day that Wendy is off for various reasons. Today, Wendy's here, but you can't come in. Are you a little under the weather? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I've got the flu. I got a still have almost 102 fever. I feel just run down. I don't have any respiratory stuff, thank goodness. But
take some boo or aspirin.
That was a stretch, a little pun on bear aspirin.
Somebody texted it in, Wendy.
That's
817
not
true. Texted that in.
That is very scary.
That is.
Well, we hope you're feeling better. This is a horrible time of year to be sick, especially for somebody who runs like you run.
It is. It really is. It's been terrible.
All right, let's go to the basics for people who have never heard you before. Chicago and the outlying suburbs are some of the most haunted places in the country, correct?
They really are, and there's different aspects of this that we think that lead to this to Chicago being known as so haunted, and one of them is the prevalence of water in Chicago. Of course, we're right on the shore of Lake Michigan, one of the largest bodies of fresh water in the world, and we have the Chicago River, the Des Plaines River, and all sorts of other natural and man-made waterways, especially along like the Archer Avenue corridor, which is one of the most haunted regions in the country, with the Illinois and Michigan Canal and the Kalzag Channel, the Sanitary Ship Canal. Paranormal researchers think that water, especially running water, is a great conduit for paranormal activity because we think it's made up of electricity. So being such a great conduit for that, anywhere where there's a lot of water, like Chicago, New Orleans, Key West, the British Isles, you're going to find a larger concentration of ghost stories, and we think that's no accident. We think that's definitely a connection. Another thing about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is it because of any kind of maritime accidents on the water? Does that play into it or not?
You know, it's definitely a part of it. We have, you know, most people know now that we have, you know, one of the worst disasters in American history that happened on the Chicago River in 1915, the Eastland disaster. We just passed the 100th anniversary a couple of years ago. There were 844 people who died in 19 feet of water on that Saturday morning in the summertime. And that spot on the river, this is between the LaSalle Street Bridge and the Clark Street Bridge, that is still a location where so many people visit that site and they hear screaming and crying coming from the water. They hear cries for help. They see bodies flowing around in the water. And a lot of people, most interesting to me, I think, feel compelled to jump into the water there, not knowing what happened there. It's almost as if they're feeling that panic of that day when so many people did jump into the water to try and help those struggling bodies in the water. A lot of people know that the old regimental armory on Washington Boulevard, where Oprah had Harpo Studios, was the main morgue used for the victims of the Eastland, and that is now the new McDonald's headquarters. So we're just waiting here, waiting by the phones, waiting for the calls to start coming in from the employees there. Because,
but people connected with Oprah Studios said that a lot of weird stuff was going on there. Not all Gayle King related either, but just that they felt weird presences there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, even she talked about it at first when she first moved in about the things that people were experiencing and that she herself was experiencing. She even did an episode of her show that was devoted to the history of the building and the things that the staff was experiencing. So, yeah, it was definitely prevalent there. And I've spoken to a lot of people over the years that worked in the building that had very profound experiences there. So, yeah, definitely there have been so many disasters on Lake Michigan and the Chicago River. You know, Lake Michigan has its own kind of mini Bermuda Triangle that goes from Chicago to Ludington, Michigan to Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And inside that triangle happen all the same sorts of things that happen within the Bermuda Triangle, such as ships and planes disappearing, sometimes permanently, sometimes for a short period of time, instruments malfunctioning, and interestingly, people having experiences with their deceased loved ones when they're sailing or flying through that area. So a lot of unusual activity, yeah, definitely connected with events on Lake Michigan and our waterways also.
All right. I 100% believe in this. So I am just captivated by everything you're telling us, Ursula. And I wonder, like, do you actually, can you ever see a ghost that looks like a ghost? A lot of people take pictures and it's like, oh, look in that window. Or is it more just like a presence or an energy? Or could it be both?
Absolutely both. You know, when people think about encountering a ghost, they're always thinking about seeing this, you know, white filmy form or seeing like a full body apparition, like maybe a transparent person who's there 1 minute and gone the next. But, you know, we'd always tell people who come on our ghost tours and when we head up investigations for the public, the number one way that these entities interact with us is by influencing our systems, our bodily physical systems, and our mental space too. So to be aware when you go into a place, you know, expecting to encounter a ghost, to be aware of changes in how you feel, that you might start to feel a little nauseous or get a headache or feel a little dizzy, because this is, again, it's electricity or energy in connecting with you. You might also have emotional responses to an area. You might become angry. You might become upset or sad because you're being influenced by something, maybe some residual energy from an event in the past or by an entity that's intelligent, that's there, that you can't see. So there are all different ways that we do encounter these entities, and they are not usually visual, where we expect to see a ghost, or which is what a lot of people expect to do. But they can be those filmy forms or balls of light that are sometimes captured by cameras or video cameras. So that does happen, but that's not the most usual encounter.
In movies and TV shows, Ursula, ghosts always have unfinished business. That's why they want to come back. Is that true in real life or just in movies and TV?
Absolutely. That's probably the number one reason why we still have these entities that are around. You know, we have free will in life. We have free will after death. People just assume, whenever I hear the phrase, like, well, they're at peace now. You know, there's some, like, horrible person that caused chaos and havoc and was always unhappy and angry in life. And people think, oh, well, they're dead now, and they went on, and now they're at peace. That is totally not the case at all. We lose our bodily form, but we still have stuff to work out. I think every medium that I've ever talked to has clarified that. So this part of our physical, you know, this part of our life, our physical life, is just part of it. And when we lose our body, we still have a lot of stuff to work out, and some people more than others. And how quickly you do that definitely depends on what kind of personality you have in life, because that personality survives death. So, yeah, you can have a very demure person who's, like, cool, gets along with everybody, is, you know, doesn't want to, like, rock the boat, that will go on after death and you'll never hear from them again. And you can hear us have some other people that are rattling stuff around, causing all kinds of trouble, keeping people awake at night. And it just really depends on how quickly that person is going to go, you know what, I think it's time for me to let go.
Yeah.
I have this incident, and I think I brought this up to you before. I was just taking a nap on the couch. Michael, my son, was not talking yet, so under 2 years old, and I was awakened to this whispery, Mom. And I just woke up, and I went and checked on him. I wish I had a story, like he was choking and I saved him. There was nothing. He was just sound asleep. There's no way he could have said that. And I just, honestly, I'll never forget it. It didn't scare me, really, but it confused me.
It is such just a prevalent experience. So many people, mothers, have that experience. I have not heard it from fathers where they have the same thing, but that specifically, being woken up by the sound of usually the voice of your own child calling for you. And I've had the experience myself, and yeah, nothing was wrong. It could be perhaps a child's having a bad dream, and we are somehow connecting with them. Could also be something from ourselves, you know, something, some fear that we have of protecting our child, and, you know, we're always on alert for that.
Yeah.
So it could be something coming from us as well, but it is a very prevalent experience. A lot of people, myself included, think that one day, a lot of the things that we talk about, that we think about as coming from deceased entities, ghosts, if you will, are going to end up to be discovered to come from us. You know, things like wishful thinking, you know, becoming and ending up being real, you know, that we can actually think about things and they happen. We can create experiences like sights and sounds that not only we can experience, but other people can experience. And I think we're going to find that our minds have a lot greater abilities than most people give them credit for today. And so I'm not saying that everything that we call ghosts, you know, or the paranormal is going to come down to human influence, but I do think a lot of it is going to be discovered to be so.
Ursula Bielski is the city's oldest and most acclaimed ghost tour purveyor. You can visit the website. It's ChicagoHaunted.com. Is that right, Ursula? Am I getting it right? Or Hauntings?
ChicagoHauntings.com.
Hauntings.com. On Facebook, it's Chicago Hauntings. On Twitter, it's at Chicago Haunted. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill and Wendy. Our guest is Ursula Bielski, paranormal researcher, founder of Chicago Hauntings. You want to visit ChicagoHauntings.com for more information. Ursula, you've been doing this for quite a while, over 20 years, almost 30 years, right? Do you get scared at all? Yeah. Anything scare you?
I do. You know, I'm a lifelong practicing Catholic, and I found that that's a big difference between myself and some other investigators. My belief system does have me to still have a little fear. I've done a lot of research in the last few years, especially on demonology and differentiating between demons and human spirits, human entities. And I found that that is a big difference between myself and other investigators. I do have places that I won't go because I feel that there are these kinds of entities there. I've seen the influence that these kinds of places have had on friends of mine, colleagues of mine, in changing their personalities. I think I've experienced that myself several times. So I've gotten a lot. I have gotten in the last few years, I have been doing this for 30 years this year. This is my 30th anniversary as a paranormal researcher. In the last few years, I found that I've become a lot more of a homebody. I do a lot less investigating of places these days and more of observing at a distance, chronicling the experiences of others, because it does take a toll. I found, you know, the colleagues that I've been with for all these years now, it takes a toll. I was just thinking about this yesterday, that some of my friends that have been doing this work for so many years, you really can tell they're old, they're wise, they're haggard. They're worn down. We have a lot of health problems. I don't think it's any accident that we've been exposed to a lot of these locations. Even when we first started taking on additional tour guides at Chicago Hauntings years ago, one of our earliest tour guides, he worked with us. He was wonderful. Worked with us for several years. He was from the Ottawa, Illinois area, LaSalle area, and he was just a great storyteller and had grown up around these stories. His dad worked on a riverboat as an entertainer, and he was just great. But after a couple of years, he said, you know, I hate to do it, but I have to leave because being around these places every night is really, I've gotten sick a lot, and it's really taking a toll. And it really does. When you think of these very strong energies that are still around after death, you know, or the residue that's left behind after these terrible tragedies that happen, taking, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lives, you can't help but have your own body and mind affected by being around these places. That was a little more than what you asked, but I do have a lot of trepidation now, and I'm careful about where I go and what I investigate.
When someone you love passes away, my dad died when I was 10. My mom died when I was 35. And I feel guilty because I don't recall any dreams I've had about them. Bill, your mom passed away. Do you have a lot of dreams about her? Has she appeared?
Like right after she died, within a year or two, I dreamt about her quite a bit. It's dissipated a bit over the years, but I used to a lot, yeah.
Because, Ursula, they say that, you know, our loved ones try to communicate with us and you need to leave yourself open and see the signs. What should we be looking for?
That's a very interesting question. One of the things people ask me a lot is, if I see my loved one in a dream, does that mean they're trying to communicate with me? I have heard that. I don't know if it's true. There are a lot of different theories about that. I myself, you know, having been a paranormal investigator for 30 years, I've talked to thousands and thousands of people who have had experiences with their loved ones who passed away. My dad passed away in 1986 when I was 19. I've never heard from him, never seen him. And he and I were as close as could be. And he had a very paranormal kind of life where he had a lot of experiences himself. So I assumed that when he passed away that he would come to visit me all the time and things like that, but yeah, he has not. You know, people, I think some of the wisest people that I work with say that you look for signs in your life. You know, there's feelings that you get sometimes that something that's happening to you or something that you think that you should do is coming with from the advice of or the support of someone that's on the other side. And I think that's the best thought that I've heard on the whole subject. But they're with us. But, you know, as far as appearing to us in our dreams and things like that, I mean, they're young. You don't have a lot of experience. You know, there's a lot of time between you and those memories.
Yeah.
And we really can't expect ourselves to have that kind of like a visual relationship now, when so many years have passed. So I would look for signs and feelings, you know, in your life and in the people that you love and that are around you and your other family members, because I think that's where our loved ones really come to us.
Ursula Bielski, a paranormal researcher, founder of Chicago Hauntings, the city's oldest and most acclaimed ghost tour. Is it year-round, Ursula, or is it only this time of year?
It is year-round. Right. Excellent. Now, of course, we're like gangbusters, but we are year-round.
ChicagoHauntings.com is the website you want to visit for more information. ChicagoHauntings.com. Ursula, great talking to you. We hope you feel better,
yeah,
and we'll talk
better
to you soon.
Thank you so much. You have a happy Halloween.
Thank
take
you so
care
much. Thanks. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead.
And the stories that matter are coming up with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.